some event, huh? Brought out the one guy in the city more reclusive than me.
Thought you'd never leave the shoreline. Aren't you afraid someone will take a shot at you?
Why? Because your father ain't around. Oz, you know Bruce Wayne?
Wow, is that right?
His father saved my life. I got shot in the chest. Right here. I couldn't go to no hospital, so we showed up on his doorstep. Operated right on the dining room table. Kid here, he saw the whole thing. Up on the stairs looking down. I remember your face. You don't think that meant something he did then?
It means he took the Hippocratic Oath.
Hippocratic Oath. That's good.
Welcome to the Superhero Cinephiles podcast. I'm your host, Perry Constantine, and bringing back a former guest and a good friend of mine, and that's John Brasek. Johnny, how are you doing today?
Well, hello there, Perry. I am well, thank you.
Yeah, it's good seeing you again. I'm doing good. It's good seeing you again, buddy.
Well, thank you. Yeah. How's the kid? How's everybody?
She's doing good. She's climbing all over everything. waking us up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning every day, pretty much. But she's
kids
good.
Will be kids.
She's starting to take. She's starting to move. Slowly starting to walk.
Well, today like she's starting to walk. Tomorrow she'll be asking for the keys for the car.
Yeah. well, she's like I was telling you before we started recording, we're getting ready to move soon, and the new place we've got has got some hallways and stuff, so she'll have more space to move around in, whereas right now she's kind of limited.
Okay.
But she's doing good, and wife's doing good, and the soon to be baby number two is doing good too.
Oh wait, there's a baby number two coming?
Yeah, you didn't know about this? Oh yeah. We're due in June, I think.
Oh wait, you did mention that. What's wrong with me? That's right. Forgive me. I'm sorry. My brain these days, it's the lack of alcohol.
Yeah, I've been cutting back myself too lately. But anyway, for people who are listening and this episode is actually being recorded out of order. So I've had a few other episodes that are recorded before, but because today we're talking about the Batman, and because it just came out, I wanted to kind of front end this. So in some of the other episodes, you'll hear me making references to things. And so if you're confused at all, that's why. It's just we're doing a little backtracking here with this episode. But like I said, we're here to talk about the Batman, and it's still in theaters, obviously. So I'm going to warn you guys right up front. If you haven't seen the movie yet, if you're worried about spoilers, this is your warning. Okay. If you don't want to be spoiled, turn off the podcast right now, go to the theater, watch the movie, and then come back and listen to us, because we're going to spoil it. So I don't want to hear anybody complaining about how, you spoiled it. And it's like, we warned you. So you've gotten fair warning, and now let's jump into it.
You've been warned.
Yes.
Oh, and if you do go, bring snacks. Go on.
Yeah, that's another thing, and if maybe make sure they're pretty salty snacks, because it's a long movie. It's 3 hours long, and it doesn't feel like 3 hours, but if you've got but you may have to take a break in the middle of it to use the bathroom or anything. So just be prepared going in, because it is 3 hours long.
Can we start the discussion with one little antidote, if I may?
Sure.
We walked into the theater, and we were curious because they were running a Batman snack special. Mm-hmm. Now, the Sawmill Theater is a family run. It's not part of a chain, as far as I can tell. I live in a small town in the mountains of Arizona. And so it's one of these almost mom and pop operations. Mm-hmm. And they'll run like for example, the Batman movie, and next to it will be a movie from the 1960s.
Okay.
You know, or they'll run like when they had the Star Wars movie, they actually played Jedi in all the other older ones.
Oh, okay.
And not only that, they had the originals from when those movies came out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, anyways, so we walk into the theater. and there is the Batman snack special. And a snack special? They normally don't offer something like this. Mm. And it came with a large popcorn. It came with what they call the Southwestern pretzels basket, which was basically pretzels with jalapenos in them.
Mm-hmm.
Or and then nacho cheese cup, or your choice of just nachos. And it came with two candy treats, okay, which your choice, which was like, you know, the usual fare you would get at the movie theaters, you know, Disney Crunch, your Mike and Ike's. I mean, take your pick.
Right.
And what had to be the biggest, fucking largest, multi-gallon obesity constructing diabetes manipulating expanding tub of soda.
Oh wow.
Okay. I mean, this soda had to be a gallon
or Jesus.
humongous okay barrel of soda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now naturally I'm not taking that. You know, but we saw some people take that. So you did for a dollar less, you didn't have to get the tanker size of soda. Mm-hmm. Instead of opting for a regular, I got a normal size soda. And you also got a free soft serve.
Okay. So they go all out.
Oh yeah, and for $6.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, which was I thought a hell of a deal. Of course, you know, we were curious, and the guy says, well, they've been hurting from the pandemic.
Mm,
you know, I come from a town, just for your listeners to know, where a good chunk of the population died off of COVID.
Oh, wow.
Seniors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, well, I'm just saying the town is starting to try to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, so we got the snack special. Thinking, okay, one snack special for me. And I was sharing it with my brother-in-law. I went with my sister, brother-in-law, and her friend, Patty, who I'll call use that name, okay, who is a bigger nerd than you and I put together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this woman came in wearing a Batman t-shirt from 1969.
Oh wow.
Yeah, with the autographs of the guy that played Robin.
Oh, Burt Ward.
Burt Ward, the guy that played the original Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
She didn't get Batman, but she got Alfred.
Oh, okay. That was Alan Napier, I think, right?
No, Alan Napier was the Riddler.
No. The Riddler was Frank Gorshin.
Gorshin, you're right. No, then I think you're right. Anyways, and she got two other people, but I don't remember who the other names were. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the guy that played Skipper from Gilligan's Island. So I don't know how that happened. But anyways.
Maybe he had a guest appearance on the show at some
maybe,
point.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because they used a lot of they had a lot of big name celebrities who appeared as villains on that show.
Well, yeah, I know. You'd be surprised. And there was one, guy named Falseface, who was rumored to be Frank Sinatra.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, so we're all sitting down, and the guy behind the counter says, you're going to want to get one for each of you. And we're like, no, we can get by, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, halfway, the movie is about as long as the movie Gandhi or Lawrence of Arabia. Without the intermission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, we're talking Lord of the Rings long.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was Lord of the Rings as long?
I think at least the uncut version, the extended editions at least were. I'm not sure about the theatrical ones.
Well, halfway through, my sister ended up getting more snack specials.
Oh, wow.
We ran out of food. Yeah. And everybody in the theater that was there, they ran out of food. I think the theater people purposely sold us salty snacks so we'd come back for, you know, others. Well, anyways, so yes, folks, if you're going to see the movie, sneak in as much food as you can in your pockets or go in and buy. Hopefully they got a snack special. I know theater popcorn always tastes better than stuff you can get at home. Something. I don't know what it is.
It's that, I don't know what it is. It's that imitation butter sauce they use. Cause I remember even here, like the stuff they have here, it's not the same as that butter sauce they have in America. When I was in high school, I worked at a movie theater, and they told us, when we asked them if they want, you know, any butter on it, we couldn't legally say butter. We could only say buttered flavor topping.
Buttered flavor. It's sort of like what Pringles can't call themselves potato chips. Yeah, okay. Yeah, buttered flavor. All I know is I had a friend named Joe Bellino in high school who worked at the Gulf Mill Theater. Mm-hmm. And he says you could use this stuff as motor oil.
Probably, and he did it in their car.
He said you could use that stuff. But it tasted so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to put extra goop on there. And you're in a movie theater, you want to take it all in.
Yeah.
But anyways, to the movie.
Yes.
I ask you a quick question before you go on?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to be rude. Did you have movie previews for yours?
Yeah, there were a few.
There were none.
Oh, really? You didn't have any?
In fact, I had this confirmed with two other friends and seen this, and they're on different parts of the country. No previews, movie previews.
Wow, that's interesting. No, we had previews in ours. It was we had the DC 2022 preview, which showed clips from, ironically enough, The Batman, but also The Flash and Black Adam and some other one too, I think was in there too.
Well, that would be cool to see.
Aquaman too. The Lost Kingdom, I think it's called. That they had some clips from that. It was like this, you know, it was like a montage of clips. They posted this up on, I think they did it for the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, but it's on YouTube. And also we had a trailer for Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I think that was it. I think those were the only trailers we had.
I wonder if any of the theaters had trailers. Like I said, two other friends have seen it. Mm-hmm. One in Pennsylvania and another one in Texas. There were no trailers.
That's interesting.
They just went straight to the movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Maybe there's not a whole bunch of Warner Brothers content coming out this year. I don't know. But because I know a lot of and especially now because they just recently announced that Flash and Aquaman have been pushed back to early 2023 now because they didn't have enough time to because the VFX got delayed because of COVID.
Are they trying to redo it like an MCU type of thing?
Nobody knows for sure. Like there's tons of rumors floating around, but I think my impression is that if they're going to do it, Flash would be like a way to kind of do like a soft reset of the timeline. So then they could, they'll still have like, what's his name? Ezra Miller as Flash, Jason Momoa as Aquaman, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, Shazam, they'll still have that. And then that'll allow them to do things like, you know, recast Batman or potentially recast Superman because we don't know what's going on with Henry Cavill and to kind of like wipe the Snyder stuff under the rug, so to speak.
I don't think they could include this Batman. He's too young.
I'm not sure because based on what Matt Reeves has said to the director, it sounds like he's pretty intent on keeping this a separate thing. So I don't think they'd involve the Pattinson Batman into it. Let's talk about this movie. So
yes.
Obviously this was originally supposed to be part of the DCEU. It was originally supposed to be directed, Ben Affleck, when he was still Batman, he was actually going to direct, produce, co-write and star in it. But he had a lot of reservations about it and he had been under a lot of stress playing the role. And he basically said, you know, I was worried that if I did this project, it would be so stressful that it would drive me back to drinking. And so that's one of the reasons why he dropped out of it. And, you know, I just want to take a moment and say that the Snyder cultists online who are demanding that Affleck return, I mean, the guy has said, like, it's a danger to his health to continue doing this. Leave the man alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm as, you know, disappointed as anybody that he didn't get a chance to really show what he could do as Batman, because I thought he was, I thought he did a very good job with the crap material he was given. And if he had gotten the chance to play the character, to play the role as the character should be written, I think he would have been the best Batman, but that's, you know, that ship has sailed now. So
there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I mean, we're going to see him in The Flash, but other than that, that's going to be like his last outing. That's going to be his last hurrah as Batman. But anyway, so once he was, once he dropped out, they brought in Matt Reeves, who's done some of the Planet of the Apes movies. And Matt Reeves had removed all the DCEU connections of it, and he decided to make this an earlier story. So this is set in basically the year two era of Batman.
Right. It's definitely not year one. I mean, because Batman has been established to have the bat signal. That's not a new thing.
Right. Well, he says right at the beginning that he's been doing this for 2 years.
Right. And so, you know, the police still hate him, but except for Gordon. And, you know, he shows up at the scenes. He goes to the police station and everything else. Like, hey, he's been there before. But it's interesting you mentioned with the whole, we're going on with the universe. I know that they're setting up, I mean, they've already announced this on HBO Max here. I don't know, but in Japan, that there's a Gotham PD.
And no, so that's been canceled. The Gotham series has been canceled, but they're going to be doing a Penguin series.
They are doing a Penguin. Will it be by the same actor?
Yeah, Colin Farrell is going to be playing the character still.
Okay. That's disappointing about the Gotham PD.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, we already got Gotham, you know, a few years ago, as, you know, as disappointing as that show was. And so it's like, let's, I'm kind of over the let's do a Batman show without Batman idea, to be honest. I mean, it's like they keep going. They've been wanting to do, I don't know what it is about TV producers and doing a Batman show that doesn't have Batman, but they've been wanting to do this since before Smallville, right? Because before Smallville, it was actually originally planned to do a young Bruce Wayne series. And then that ended up getting pushed aside, and then they did Smallville instead. But then they went and they did Gotham, which was a young Bruce Wayne series. And then they did that. And then also, you know, we get Batwoman, which is a world where Batman's missing. We've had Birds of Prey, which was a world where Batman was missing, you know, way back in the day, if you remember Birds of Prey, the TV show. You know, we've had Titans, which has been, you know, a pseudo Batman show as well. I'm just like, you know what, we're going to have Batgirl soon as well. And like, you can take a break from doing Batman shows that aren't Batman for once.
The problem with the Gotham show, to me, and I think I was one of the few people that kind of liked it, because it was something to watch. This is back, what, about 10 years ago?
Something like
or
that,
six
yeah.
years ago, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. It was more recent than Smallville. It came out like about, I think maybe about halfway into Smallville's run is when Gotham came out.
Right. There was too many coincidences. Oh, he's friends with the girl that becomes Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. Oh, he becomes friends with the girl that becomes Catwoman, you know. And then the guy that becomes a Joker.
Yeah, you know? The show was really, and it was also weird because, you know, you have all these villains showing up before Batman appears, which takes away from one of the big elements of Batman is that, you know, there's him, his presence in Gotham as Batman is sort of the whole theme of escalation that the Dark Knight touched on, which is
triggering events.
Exactly. Yeah. Where that's what's bringing out all these crazies. Which I kind of like that aspect of it. And, you know, it's not a big deal, but you get rid of that. But also, too, you think about it, all these villains are adults when Bruce Wayne is still a kid. And so you kind of get this sense that, you know, eventually when you get to Bruce Wayne having done this for like 10 years, he's going to be beating up a bunch of geriatrics.
Yeah. Reminds me of that DC comic where they take all the villains who are now old. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
I don't think so.
It's basically a group led by Harley Quinn, who's in her 60s. Killer Croc, is that his name? I keep forgetting. Killer Croc, who is the husband of Catwoman, who goes around in one of those scooters you see seniors ride in, and it's supposed to be taken seriously. You know, and like, you're right.
Is this you know, Lady Harley?
I think so.
I haven't seen that, so I've heard of it. But
Lex Luthor is the president of Mexico.
I haven't actually read it, but I've heard of it. So,
and is our tribal's Wayne Gretzky? But anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole thing, Harley Quinn's another character who's just kind of, I like her as more of a supporting character when she's the central character, unless it's like the animated series. You know, I don't think she's as, personally for me, she's not as interesting to hold down.
So so let's go back to the movie now.
Yes. And
in the movie, what I really loved about it was it was like a gritty detective novel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, like a detective in Detective Comics for Batman.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of like, it kind of reminded me of True Detectives in a way. Mm-hmm. With Batman, with a Batman theme. Mm-hmm. I liked how, and I know this has been said everywhere, or I'm not being original here, how essentially a Riddler comes off like the Zodiac killer.
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
I think that was the purpose they did, because for those who are unfamiliar, the Zodiac killer left not riddles, but in a way, but he left messages with certain symbols.
Right.
And if you look in the movie, the Riddler makes certain similar symbols. You know, and leaves messages. And I just thought, you know, this was definitely an original take, because the last time anyone ever saw the Riddler on the big screen was Jim Carrey's rendition. Yeah. Right? There's no other one.
Well, I mean, there was in Gotham, not on the big screen, but in Gotham, there was the Riddler, but it was he was pretty good. He was one of the few good things about that show was their take on the Riddler in that. But in, as far as movies, you're right. The last time was Jim Carrey.
Was Jim Carrey, and we're talking two completely, and I can't remember the name of the actor that plays him, but I thought he did a pretty swell job.
Paul Dano.
Paul Dano. What else was he in?
He's been in a lot of stuff. I'm gonna look him up, and I'll tell you some stuff. But yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. And go ahead.
So while he was doing, while he's the Riddler in this program, I like how they did the riddles. I mean, you see in the past, like that the riddles are there just because, oh, he's the Riddler. Not that it doesn't really fit into the movie, or I mean, but in this one, it really does. And not only that, it goes in how, well, let's be honest here. He's there almost as a psychotic and not an anti-hero, but mm-hmm. I honestly have thought at one point, and spoiler alert again, I thought the Riddler was the journalist who was going to investigate, because they show a picture of the journalist and he's got glasses,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's not him, obviously. We all know that.
Yeah.
It's one of the orphans in the Wayne Orphanage
who
grows up to be an accountant of all things.
Yeah. Right. Paul Dano, the thing I knew him most from is Little Miss Sunshine. But he's also been in a lot of other things. He was in There Will Be Blood, Cowboys and Aliens, Night and Day, 12 Years a Slave.
Was he the preacher Looper. In There Will Be Blood?
I didn't actually see There Will Be Blood, so I don't know. But his character was Paul Sunday, Eli Sunday.
He was the preacher. Holy shit, that wasn't. Oh, now I know why they picked him, because they got very similar characters in a certain way. Mm. Okay.
Well, anyway. But one of the things you said is that, and this is one of the things, so I like this movie a lot. I thought it was really good. I still have some quibbles with it. But first, talk about the things I liked was I love that this time we actually, like you were saying, that we see Batman as a detective in this movie, which is something the movies have seemed to pretty much avoid it. We got a little bit of it in, you know, the 1989 Batman, because we see the aftermath of Michael Keaton's Batman investigating stuff, but we don't actually see him in the act of investigating, right? All the investigation stuff happens off screen, basically, right? There's the scene where he's thinking about, he's thinking about what the Joker's doing, and he says like, Alfred, let's go shopping. And then later he gives the results that he's found to Vicki Vale. So we know that, you know, he's tested all these products and he's found out what the Joker's toxin is and the combination. So we know he's doing some detective work there, but we don't see the actual steps that he takes to make those leaps. And also in Batman Returns, again, a little bit at the beginning with the stuff with the Penguin, you see there's a little bit, but all this stuff happens off screen. And then in Batman v Superman, we again got a little bit of a taste of it, but the problem is that the everybody in that movie is so stupid that
right.
the fact that he's not able to determine that it's Lex Luthor behind everything is ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
I mean, because it's, you know, Lex Luthor basically signed the Superman frame-up job by using his company's own experimental bullets, and nobody but Lois Lane is able to figure that out. And it's just listen to when Derek and I talked about Batman v Superman, because we went off on how stupid the plot was in that. But they do make an effort to show, like, Ben Affleck's Batman is trying to do some detective work, but he's not really that good at it. So this right. is the first time when Batman, at least in the live action movies, when we see Batman as a competent, intelligent detective. And I really like that aspect of it.
Well, I want to challenge that a little bit. You're right, but I'd say about 90%. I don't think he's 100% that good at it, because it shows in the movie as he's learning. I mean, it's like, as you said, he's on year two, right?
Yeah.
Or at least you two, that he makes some mistakes in the movie.
He does, but that's fine. I'm fine with that, because for the most part, they show him as being competent. Whereas
right.
in Batman v Superman, he just seemed like an idiot.
Right. No, I agree with you. Well, there, I do, but I'm just saying it shows more a level of realism that he is doing a detective work. But like real detectives, they're not going to be the perfect detective. They're not going to be, here comes, the Belgian detective from Murder on the Nile, where I pieced it all together before that first scene even happened. You know, this guy, he missed certain things. Yeah. And it shows, it's like a level of realism, you know, and you know damn well that he's learning from it. And he sees that he's learning from this. You know that this Batman is going to evolve.
Yeah, I appreciated that for the most part, although one of the issues I had with it was the fact that the mistake he makes is these basic mistakes with Spanish language. And right. I'm just like, yeah, I mean, you could have easily figured that out by just double checking your brief memories of high school Spanish.
Or Google,
yeah. So I thought that was a little bit, I'm like, I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to show that he makes mistakes, but you know, even Penguin's just like, really? Come on. And I think when you've got another character pointing out how your master detective has missed something so obvious, I think that's a little bit of a problem in the movie.
Well, and don't forget that final clue where it was literally under the carpet.
Yeah.
The Riddler's, you know, that's another one.
That I thought was good, yeah.
Yeah, I think, because you know there's two more movies coming.
Well, there hasn't been anything confirmed yet.
Oh, well. You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to make...
This movie has gotten very successful, so I'm pretty sure that they'll probably be doing something else. But Matt Reeves went into this movie.
Perry, Perry, look at... When he goes, the minute that... The Batman went into that hall, that room in the orphanage, and that camera is playing, and he's showing, the Riddler talks about the families of Gotham being the Arkhams and the Waynes. I immediately thought of one other who could be the next villain, and I'm sure you know who I'm going to allude to, okay? And it is the Owls, the Court of the Owls.
Court of Owls, yeah, that's been mentioned. Matt Reeves has also said he'd be interested in doing Hush, which they also reference because the reporter was his last name was Elliot, so his son could be Thomas Elliot, who becomes Hush.
So
in the comics.
I gotta ask you this. Yeah. I gotta ask you this. I watched this and I said to myself, okay, I see the type of realism that they're going for here. I've been wanting to ask you. How do you feel now that the degree of realism, they cannot do, I think they're going, assuming now, this is all, speculation here, okay, that assuming they do make two more movies, do you think that the way or the way they're going about this, they cannot use certain villains that are too fantastical?
Here's something that you touched on, and this is my biggest complaint about the movie, is that I am so beyond done with let's make a grounded, realistic Batman. right? I'm so done with this. We had the Nolan trilogy. We did it. It's done. And one of the as many complaints as I have about Zack Snyder and the DCEU and everything, one of the things that I love that he did was he's like, let's embrace the fact that this is a fantastical comic book world. And he had Batman in the bat suit from the comics. He had him doing these insane gymnastic moves and jumping around. I love that stuff about it. And I'm a little bit disappointed that now we're rolling back to the Nolan era. We have to make everything very grounded. I mean, it's...
Oh, this just goes beyond the Nolan era.
It does, yeah. And I'm just like, why? Why? I'm so done with the grounded Batman approach. It's been done, and it was good for what it was, but let's embrace the fact that this is a superhero comic book about a guy who has more money than God who dresses up like a giant bat. Let's embrace the fact that it's a ludicrous concept.
But they're not going to go that route. They're not.
I know they're not. You know, but I wish they would.
I know they throw some teases here and there. Like we know at the that one of those final scenes, you know damn well the other guy in the jail cell is the Joker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I don't think he's already said on IGN. I don't know if you've gone to IGN. That's not the next villain. He does not want to use the Joker at all.
No, and I'm glad for that because again, I also as done as I am with the. With the idea of a grounded Batman, I'm even more done with the Joker. I mean, we've had him, you know, we had Heath Ledger, we had Jack Nicholson, we had, you know, Jared Leto, and then we had Joaquin Phoenix. Just like, we had him on Gotham. Like there were like two or three different Jokers on Gotham. We had him in, I think we're getting him in Batwoman now too. So it's just like, I'm done with the Joker.
But I know Penguin. We know that, and this is a very this Penguin actually has more in common, oddly enough, with the one on Gotham than any of the movie ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I like how they are making him a mob boss.
Yeah,
which is really in fact they're making him. I'll be quite honest with you, my brother-in-law who watched it with me said that guy reminded him so much of Robert De Niro's Al Capone, Untouchable.
Yeah, yeah. I saw someone else saying it reminded them a lot of James Gandolfini in The Sopranos as well.
Yeah.
I loved what they did with the Penguin in this. I thought the Penguin was Colin Farrell, man. Like, you know, I don't know if that was a fat suit or what, but he just completely disappeared into that character.
You couldn't tell it was him.
No, not at all. Like even knowing it was him, the entire time I'm sitting there, I'm watching this movie, I'm like, that's actually Colin Farrell. I could not believe it. Knowing it as I'm watching the movie.
Compare him to how he was in Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was great in Daredevil. I liked him in Daredevil, yeah. but I thought he was one of my favorite parts of this movie.
The people who did the special effects, or actually the makeup, excuse me, on him should get an award.
Yeah.
So many people confused him for another actor. I keep forgetting his name. He's a comedian who had to go on Twitter and say, that's not me. You know, this guy is one of those guys that was in a lot of shows.
Okay.
His name. But anyways, Collins, I love how in the third part of the movie, he turns on Falcone when they find out Falcone was the rat.
Yeah.
You know, which I got to ask you, we've now seen how many versions of Falcone? Do you think of Del Toro as...
I loved it. Like, I didn't know that Totoro was going to be in it until fairly recently. I'd seen the clip.
That's right.
Yeah, the clip when he meets Bruce Wayne at the funeral. They had shown that online like last month or something like that. And I saw that clip. I'm like, holy sh! John Turturro's in this, and he's playing Carmine Falcone. I thought he was great.
I thought so, too.
I don't know why he had to... I don't know what was up with the sunglasses inside at night type of thing, but that aside.
Oh, I can explain that one.
Okay.
He based that off of Carlo Gambino.
Oh, okay, okay.
They interviewed him and he says he based the entire character, the sweater, everything off of the Gambino crime family boss.
I see.
Who dated Marilyn Monroe.
Okay, that explains it then. Because I know that in the comics, Falcone never did that sunglasses thing. So that explains it then. I was wondering where that came from.
Yeah.
But I thought he was great. I thought he's easily my favorite version of the character that we've seen in live action so far. He was great.
I thought he played it. I like a lot of mafia things. I like mafia history.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him with the sweaters and the sunglasses, I go, holy shit, he's playing Carlo Gambino.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And that guy, if you ever read up on his biography, I mean, it's almost the same thing as Carmine Falcone. I mean, including the daughter. Well, his mistresses didn't have a Catwoman, but I mean, you mm-hmm. know what I mean.
Right.
Which
right.
I got to ask you about that. What did you think about Catwoman being the secret daughter of Carl Falcone?
That comes straight from the comics.
That comes straight from the comics.
Yeah, that was established in...
I did not know that.
I think it was the Long Halloween was when they established that.
Well, I got to catch up on my Batman comics.
Yeah, they...
I did not know that.
Reeves, for inspiration, Reeves had looked at... the Long Halloween was a big source of inspiration. Batman Year One was a big source of inspiration, obviously. Also, Batman Ego by Darwin Cook. That was another big source of inspiration for this. I haven't read Ego, but I have read the other ones. And you can see those elements in it. Also, even though it's not mentioned, it looks like at least they also took some hints from the Batman Earth One graphic novels that Jeff Johns and I think it was Gary Frank did, because the design of the costume is very similar to Gary Frank's Batman costume in Earth One. And the whole idea of Alfred, like even the look of him with the cane and the beard, that comes out of Earth One. And also the whole idea of Alfred not necessarily being a butler, but being like a bodyguard type, that also comes out of Earth One.
Okay, because I like Andy Serkis.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a wonderful actor. I've seen him in a lot of things besides Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So I know he's a good actor. And out of all the characters, I thought, I'm not going to say the weakest because that's not the right word to use. I think his, again, I did not know about the bodyguard thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I know, in a Gotham TV show, it was something similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever watch, you know, if you've seen it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought this one was one that I think down the road will be more developed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think either he didn't get enough lines. I thought he was great.
Yeah, Andy Serkis was good, but I think one of the problems is this doesn't feel like Alfred to me.
Right.
That's one of the things, like, and I keep going back to, you know, personally for me, Michael Gough was the perfect Alfred in the original Batman movies. He was perfect, right? He had the, you know, he had that loyalty to Bruce. He had the kind of dry English wit thing. And he had captured that character. And if I'm ranking Alfreds, Michael Gough is at the top. Number two is probably Jeremy Irons. Then Michael Caine. And then I'd put Andy Serkis at the bottom. And this is just talking about the movies, not talking about, you know, the TV show. So I'd have to think about where Sean Pertwee would go in there. Yeah. And Alan Napier.
I
haven't seen the Pennyworth TV show, so I don't know about that.
Oh, that's good. You should watch the Pennyworth show. They're good. There was one thing that I didn't pick up, but my sister's friend Patty picked up, is that they also brought back a character, and maybe she was in the other movies. I don't remember. You know, my memory is not that great.
Mm-hmm.
But one, my sister's friend brought up, they brought up so-and-so from the original 60s Batman. Because if you remember in the 60s Batman, there's obviously Alfred.
Oh, that was Aunt Harriet. So not the same character. This was like, her name was like Dolly or Doris or something. And she wasn't an aunt. She was just like a maid or something.
Oh, so she's not, okay. Okay. I thought, well, like I said, she was pointing out because like, oh, well, that's new. Yeah, you know. And let me ask you, the Bruce Patterson's Bruce Wayne
mm-hmm.
is a completely different Bruce Wayne than what we're used to or seen before.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been aloof at some point.
Right.
And they all try to avoid doing day-to-day Wayne Enterprise stuff. Let's mm-hmm. be honest. You know, in the Nolan series, he had a surrogate played by the late, great, oh my God, I'm having a brain fart again. What's his name? he was in the Danish actor who passed away. He was in Blade Runner.
I'm not sure. Oh, Rucker Howe.
Rucker Hauer.
He passed away.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh wow.
He passed away about 2 years ago.
And, yeah, the guy who takes control of Wayne Enterprise.
Right. But. You know, because he was originally the proxy for him.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the Michael Keaton one, you know, he was known as being aloof.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one, he's like basically very aggressively wanting to avoid anything to do with it. And he doesn't come off as the playboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They completely left that out.
It's Bale. I mean, to me, it's a bit refreshing, a bit spooky. Mm-hmm. You know, my brother-in-law called him the emo Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a nice take.
I thought it was okay. You know what? I'm not as down on that as I might have been on some other aspects, some other choices Matt Reeves made in this. In this, I'm okay with it because we've seen the Playboy Bruce Wayne thing a lot. So, and it makes sense that this is early in his career. He's gonna be very invested in the idea of being Batman. So I thought it made sense for him to be kind of like reclusive. I didn't mind it. If they keep this up going forward, I'm not sure if I'd be as interested in it, but it was fine for this movie.
He played it up as a human being who barely got any sleep.
Yeah.
As somebody who suffers from clinical insomnia, where I got to take medication sometimes, I saw the telltale signs on his face.
You know, when I saw the previews of it or the original photos, we saw Pattinson with the kind of floppy hair type thing.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, and I still don't really like that as a design choice for Bruce Wayne, but it makes sense in the context of this movie, I think.
Yes. What did you think of the Batsuit?
Now, again, this is another thing where it's like, I'm done with the grounded approach, and it was fine, but I couldn't figure out what the damn thigh holster was for either. He's walking around with this thigh holster, and when I saw it in the previews and stuff, I thought, oh, that's probably for the grapnel gun, but it wasn't, because the grapnels are built into his gauntlet, so I couldn't figure out what that damn thigh holster was for.
Well, no, maybe he just hasn't decided yet.
Yeah,
you know,
he's just carrying it around.
his suit looked like a work in progress, like the Batmobile, which is what, a 66 Camaro
mm-hmm.
or something like that, which it looked like a Mad Max car to me, than a Batmobile we've usually seen. But I thought it was pretty cool. I thought that whole scene on the highway was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh yeah, I love that chase scene. I thought it was a great chase scene. There's so much about this movie I love, and most of my complaints is about, which it's not necessarily fair because I know that's not what. I know Matt Reeves wanted to make a grounded movie, but again, at the same time, I'm a little bit disappointed because I'm done with the grounded stuff. I want to see, instead of seeing Bruce in like a makeshift bat cave and like cobbling things together, can't we see like the big bat sprawling bat cave beneath Wayne Manor with the giant Penny and the robot dinosaur? I'm like, I want to see that shit.
Well, you may, but you still may get that if they're going to go with the two universes thing. You still may get that. But, going back to the realism here, they played on a lot of other things, like how they essentially made fun of QAnon, rightfully so.
Yeah,
you know, by having these chat rooms, and you know these people showing up, because you know there's that scene at the convention center where all these other guys in Riddler costumes, and you know they're talking about guns and all this. Mm-hmm. And you ever see these QAnon chat rooms? Like, in fact, there's a couple under says Anon on there that they basically almost nailed it, and I'm happy they mocked them because they deserve mocking.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was all very, you know, true to life, to the current situation we're seeing. So I thought all that was really good. I love everything about this movie. I'm just disappointed that we're still doing the grounded thing is my main complaint, which that's not fair to judge this movie for what this movie is. I thought it was great for what it was doing.
Okay, but you know they're going to go forward with this with the next one.
Yeah,
let's be honest. They're gonna make a next one.
Yeah, I've resigned it. Like, I'm not getting the the crazy comic book Batman, Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams stuff that I want to get, but this is good. It's good for what it is, and it's a nice melding of the character of Batman, where it's not full on grim Frank Miller porn, right? It's not that. And there is an
arc there. You know,
yeah.
In the beginning, he's like, well, you know, vengeance. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're gonna get every. I mean, he wants to create a sense of dread on the criminals, like the criminals prey upon the you know, like that scene on the subway platform. Mm-hmm. With that guy waiting for the train and all these guys in the clown makeup. And I'm thinking, first watching the movie, my brother-in-law turns to me and goes, are those guys working for the Joker? Because mm-hmm. I mean, the clowny makeup and all, I go, no Joker in this one. No Joker in this one.
And now that we see from the scene in Arkham, like they could have been, because we know obviously from this movie that this Batman has fought the Joker before.
Yeah, maybe they are acolytes.
So they could be like, you know, the Joker's former gang or something like that, or followers of him or something like that. Yeah,
that is true. But what I'm saying is, I mean, he created a sense of dread, like to look at it all the dark corners. Mm-hmm. Like you hear the boom, boom.
I did like that. Every time, like there's a dark corner, like the criminals are like double checking. I did think that was kind of cool. I will say though that. One of the things, and again, this goes back to my complaint about the grounded approach, is that when, you know, they're on the subway platform and, you know, this guy walks out in a costume and it doesn't have that same dramatic sense that, like, you know, someone back, like him swooping out from the shadows and grabbing someone would have, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I watching this movie made me want to go back and replay some of the Batman games, but you know, the Return to Arkham set is not discounted. So I'm waiting on that. So I went back and I started replaying Arkham Origins, and God, that's what I want. Like, I want like the whole, you know, dropping down from a gargoyle and swooping someone up and just like, you know, that kind of stuff in a Batman movie.
You may still get it. Maybe he couldn't do it in this movie because he misplaced that gun. That missing holster. It's somewhere. Listen, they filmed it in Chicago again. You know, if you looked at the scenes and if you look at IMDb, they mm-hmm. filmed it in Chicago and in Scotland.
Okay. That's another thing I wanted to mention, is one of the things I liked about this is, like, one of the, looking back on The Dark Knight, like at the time we loved that it was all filmed in Chicago, but looking back at it, you're watching it now and you're like, that's not Gotham, that's Chicago. And this one, I did like that they made an effort to actually make it feel like Gotham was a real city. I thought it felt like it was a real, there was a real Gotham City out there.
Oh my God, this was like a nightmare city. Mm-hmm. This is like if the people who made the Dark Souls video game were asked to design a city. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the appearance, all dark. Even in the daytime, mm-hmm. it's all dark. And, you know, it's like, you don't know, you're going to go to the corner store and get a shiv. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that fucked up. I mean, I remember that city was like a how the hell are they governing it? Even the street, you don't know where the left is, the right is, the street names, everything is all spooky. And, you know, again, it's like if From Software, who makes Dark Souls, were so, okay, you're going to design an American city. Oh, yeah, boy, are you living in this city in trouble? You know, I mean, you know, the train platform, everything's dark.
Something else you mentioned too is Batman's character arc. And, you know, something else I liked about this movie is, and going back to the Bruce Wayne thing, is I like that we see him as Batman so much in this movie. Like, we barely see Robert Pattinson outside of the costume.
It's almost like, it's not that Bruce Wayne is Batman, it's more like Batman is sometimes Bruce Wayne.
Right, exactly, which is how it should be. And I did like that they heavily leaned into that, whereas in the other movies, it's like in the Nolan films, it was very heavy on the Bruce Wayne side, and you only saw Batman at little points. In the Burton films, you know, it was pretty much all the villains anyway, and Bruce Wayne was kind of a supporting character even.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, look who hits on that in this movie. Mm-hmm. The guy who plays the Riddler.
Right.
When Batman visits him in Arkham, he says it flat out, "That's your real face."
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and which I think, they I don't say know, that in Batman Begins, but it's they made it so that it was more of like a psychological mask as opposed to a physical mask, which is why you see him like, you know, the cartoonish playboy Bruce Wayne, but then he's like all serious when he's with Alfred and all that. But I like the fact that this Bruce Wayne spends so much time in the bat suit.
Well, it's sort of like this Batman reminds me of that character in The Watchmen who puts on the mask.
Rorschach.
Where, and there's a sign where basically Rorschach says in the graphic novel and in the comic and in the movie that the mask is his real face.
Right, right.
That identity. And you know what? That thing is the same thing they implied upon in this movie.
Right,
and
yeah,
the Riddler says basically the same thing, that whoever you really are, this is who you really are.
Yeah.
You know, everything else is a facade. And but in that, just look, let's forget about Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. You see in the movie that Batman himself, this is pretending he's a whole separate ethos, a whole separate being.
Mm-hmm.
He evolves.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, in the beginning, he's all about vengeance at all costs. And then eventually, at the end, it's not about vengeance. It's about, he says, hope and justice. Right. He comes out more closer to Superman. And in a way, I don't know if you have seen Peacemaker.
Oh, yeah. Yet. Yeah.
Okay. There's a similar arc,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it, to all, you know, where the guy who plays Peacemaker believes it's peace at all costs, you know, kid, women, and children. He has to. And the bad guys in there, the butterflies, you later learn, are basically the same thing. They're saying they came to Earth to conquer it so that we don't make the same mistake as they destroyed their environment.
Right.
And they realize, at least the leader, whoever it is, they came to realize, you know, we made the same mistake at all costs. And John Cena's Peacemaker at the end of it realized it cannot be peace at all costs.
Right.
And the Batman, I don't know about Bruce Wayne, but I'm going to say Batman, came to realize he can't just be about punishment, but to show that there is hope and a journey towards rehabilitation, mm-hmm. that we can do more, that this city can recover.
Yeah, yeah, I love that aspect of it. I love that they were going with a Batman who comes out of this on the other side being much more hopeful. I really like that aspect of it. And that's an aspect of Batman that's often been avoided in the movies. So I really like that we're going back to that aspect of it from the comics and what the animated series did so well.
Now, but of course that left the question hanging. Conversely, can the city rehabilitate? Yeah, they got a new mayor and a lot of the leadership.
Well, see, I've got a few things about that too, because one of the things I kept thinking about when looking at the devastation at the end of the movie was that this perfectly sets it up for No Man's Land.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, you don't know about the No Man's Land story arc in the comics?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you gotta. There's a Batman sale on Amazon now because Amazon decided to fuck up the Comixology app.
Don't get me started on that.
Don't even get me started. It's been such a headache. But yeah, if anyone from Amazon is listening, just give us back the old fucking app and store, because this new thing is just a total clusterfuck. But anyway, if you go to Amazon's comics section, they've got a Batman sale on right now. They've got, and one of the things that's on sale, I think it's still going on. So you might want to, I think it ends like this weekend. So you might want to hurry up and get it, but they've got like a bunch of Batman stuff on sale, and you want to pick up the Cataclysm stories and the No Man's Land stories. It's amazing.
May I ask you, are these available in the DC universe?
I'd imagine, I don't know, but I imagine.
I get that through my, I got a Disney debit card. That's my debit card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got Darth Vader now. I was stuck with a Little Mermaid card for like 2.5 years. But, you know, and before that, Minnie Mouse. I don't know how this happened to me. But anyways, and one of the perks is you get a deep discount in DC Universe.
Really? For a Disney card?
Yeah, the Disney card.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the Marvel app?
No, I got that too.
Okay, okay. But yeah, if you're on DC Infinite, I think it's called, or something like that.
Wait. I got a Marvel debit card too. But I got a discount on that as well. Wait a minute. Now you got me thinking, which one I got a discount with? Darth Vader, Darth Disney.
It's
the Marvel. Yeah, it's the Marvel one I got a discount. Yeah, excuse me. I'm stupid. I should hang up and hit my head against the wall here.
But
DC Universe.
But you have the DC Universe app. Okay. I'm double checking now. I believe that they have No Man's Land on there. I'm just looking it up now.
Well, can you enlighten me what this No Man's Land is about without spoilers?
So yeah, it looks like they do have the storyline up there. The storyline is that in first it was the Cataclysm story arc where there was this massive earthquake in Gotham caused by a supervillain, and it had caused all this devastation and it like cut off Gotham from the rest of the country. And basically in No Man's Land, they kind of have this thing where they're like, you know what? The US government decides we're just going to cut off Gotham City from the rest of the country. And it's almost like an escape from New York kind of thing.
Oh my God.
And so Gotham, gets closed off from the rest of the, remember in The Dark Knight Rises, how the bridges it's very similar kind of situation to that. And, you know, it's like the villains are setting up their own sort of like their own little territories in Gotham. And Batman and the police are like the few police that are left, like the only ones who are left who can try to take control of the situation. So it's really cool. It's a really good, it's a really amazing storyline. But yeah, Cataclysm was it's three parts in the trades, and it's all on the DC Universe Infinite app. But it's Batman Cataclysm was the earthquake stuff. There was Road to No Man's Land, which is like the build up to that, and then the actual No Man's Land story arc.
Okay, I'll check that out. That would be interesting. I thought they were going to rebuild as all, you know.
They could do that. Like another thing they could do is they could rebuild it, and this could also be a way for Bruce Wayne to, you know, come out of his, you know, come out of the cave basically. So they could do that as well. But yeah, I mean, in general, also I want to talk about Jeffrey Wright as Gordon. What do you think of him?
I liked him. I know some people think that he didn't fit. I've heard the argument that they gave him too much screen time. But then again, I thought he was good. I thought
he was perfect in the role.
Yeah, I liked him.
He was, you know, and in fact, I love that scene when he leads Batman into the crime scene. Like that felt very much like the old Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams comics when Batman would show up and him and Commissioner Gordon would go over the crime scene together. I loved that. I thought that was perfect.
Commissioner Gordon in this movie knows that his police department, at least half of it is a piece of shit, and half of it is okay. And he's looking for allies, and I think maybe in year one, it's definitely off screen before the movie, that he realizes Batman is the helper he needs. And it sort of finalizes, I think, in that scene when they're in the, where he keeps the little bat signal, you know, right before he meets Catwoman at one, you know, I don't know if you remember, before they kidnap, it's like in the third part, what first third of the movie.
Yeah.
And so I think this is why he agrees. Okay, listen, you got to punch me in the face. You got to make it look real.
Yeah.
And he slips him the keys. And I think he realizes, okay, this is real. Our friendship, well, partnership, not friendship. This is it. I can definitely use this because I'm not getting help with the department. God knows half of them are working for the mob.
Right. Yeah, I thought he was great. I think this is probably the best version of Gordon we've seen on screen so far. I mean, you know, I think if he'd been given more to do, J.K. Simmons probably would have been the best, but he wasn't. So just got to go with what we've actually seen. And based on that, I think he's definitely my favorite Gordon that we've seen so far.
Now, do you think, had there been a these Gotham PD, that, I mean, this was obviously, you're telling me this was canceled. Mm-hmm. Do you think they were planning on having Jeffrey Wright essentially take that over?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I'm trying to see if there's anything about this on the Wikipedia page, but my gut says probably not. And it looks like it would have been a prequel of, and it would have focused on the, so the series would have been told from the perspective of a crooked cop. So it wouldn't have actually been Gordon. It would have been someone else.
Okay.
It probably would have been, you know, I think what they would have done is they probably would have gone with Bullock. It's not said who they would have gone with, but I assume it would have been Bullock because in the pre-crisis stories, he was a crooked cop.
Was Bullock in the movie?
In this movie, no.
I didn't think so.
He hasn't appeared in any of the movies. There was in the 89 Batman, they had Lieutenant Eckhart, who's basically pre-crisis Bullock.
Right.
But he wasn't obviously his name wasn't actually Bullock. And then you had Donald Logue played Bullock in the Gotham TV show. But in the movies, in the movies themselves, live action movies, we haven't seen Bullock at all.
I was expecting Donald Logue to betray him in that show in Gotham every second. Because goddamn it, anything I ever see him in, he's like a backstabber. Mm-hmm. He's a backstabber in what's that show at Oliphant?
Are you talking about Justified?
Justified. I think he's in that one, playing an FBI, crooked FBI agent.
Okay.
And he's in Vikings, I just saw him playing King Horik, where he's a fucking piece of shit in that. You know? Anyways. So, wow.
Also, one other thing I want to talk about before we wrap this up is what I think was the best performance in this movie, Zoe Kravitz.
Thank you. I don't know why some people are giving her hate. I don't know why some people are saying, oh, she was too slow. Oh, there was no connection. Oh, there was no chemistry. Oh, she made it longer. Bullshit. I thought she was pretty damn good. And you know,
I thought she was perfect. She was perfection in that role. Like, this is, you know, I thought all the live action Catwoman have been great. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. Like, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, classic. Anne Hathaway, awesome job.
Yes.
Zoe Kravitz, though, is like the perfect version of this character we've seen in the movie. She is exactly like the character from the comics.
Why do you think they're saying there's no chemistry? Because, oh, she's not fawning over Batman. Come on.
I don't know. I mean, that. I suspect a lot of it is a lot of it is racism. Because there's a lot of people who are just like, oh, it's too woke. Because she mentions white privilege in it at one point. I'm like, it's just, anytime there's a woman of color, they're gonna bitch about it. That's really what I think it is.
For the record, on television, they've done polls who played the best Catwoman on TV.
Oh yeah, and Eartha Kitt.
It was Eartha Kitt for the original, you know. So I'm sorry that don't hold. And honestly, I just thought she's not gonna be wilier. Oh. Bruce, Batman. Because first off, she's on her own agenda.
Yeah,
she's it's almost like the Punisher in a way with her, you know, or some kind of vendetta with her because she knows damn well her father's the one responsible for the murder of her friend, and her friend and her were like besties, and this happens to her. Come on, and not only she doesn't know who to trust, and she's like, "Well, I like you, oh, you know," and all this stuff, and but then, come on, I thought it clicked.
I thought it was perfect. Clicked. Yeah. I thought she did a very good job, and that's exactly what Catwoman's like in the comics. She's always got her own agenda, so I don't know what people are complaining about. I thought her chemistry with Pattinson I thought was great. I thought she, like I said, she's my hands down my favorite performance in this movie is her. She was just exactly what I wanted Catwoman to be.
Now, is she going to return in a future movie? Do we know? It's too early to tell.
I mean, I hope so. But it's up and I'm not sure. I read that there have been that some cast members have signed on for more movies, but I'm not sure. So here's what Wikipedia says. So you were right, actually. It looks like they are going to be doing a new trilogy. And it's going to be a Batman-focused shared universe that's separate from the DCEU stuff.
Oh, there you go. See?
Now, it says key cast members have signed on for the future films, but it doesn't say which of those are the key cast members.
Come on. You know, damn well, a dump truck full of money just appeared in Patterson's front yard and say,
"Well, Pattinson's already said he'll do it, but I'm talking about other cast members. So we don't know about, I don't know about Zoe Kravitz or what, but
well, Serkis is probably going to be in it.
Serkis is probably signed on, I'd imagine.
Jeffrey Wright,
I'd imagine, would definitely be in it. But they give an out for her because for her to be out in the next movie because she says that she's leaving, she's going to Bloodhaven. So it would make sense for her to sit out a movie. Oh, in fact, you know what? Why not give her a solo Catwoman movie to make up for the Halle Berry one? That.
I was about to ask two questions.
Okay.
One is I went on the internet to see, you know, what they were saying. And, you know, a lot of people mentioned Bloodhaven. Mm-hmm. And you know where I'm going with this, but I don't think there's a Robin yet.
Not yet, It's too early. But Pattinson and Reeves have expressed interest in introducing Robin. So it could mean that he comes up in the next movie or something.
You don't think, it's like everybody on the internet, so I'd like your take on this. That I think it could be the now orphaned boy of the mayor. Who was killed?
No, that wouldn't work. Mother. No, yeah, that wouldn't work. I think that'd be stupid. It was just like when Batman Begins came out and there was that little kid that Batman tossed the thing to. Everyone's like, "Oh, that's Robin." I'm like, "No, it's not." But him introducing him in the next movie actually makes sense because, if I'm not mistaken, I think actually in the comics, Robin did appear in the second year. Yeah, he appeared in 1940, and Batman appeared in, what was it, 1939?
Something like that.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm just.
Yeah, 1939 was when Batman premiered, and then Robin came out a year after. So they could ease. And in the comics, you know, in the world of the comics, they did The Long Halloween, which is set in the second year. And then after that came the Dark Victory series, and that introduced Robin. So I think they could easily introduce Dick Grayson in the next one.
The question is, how old will he be in this?
Yeah, I think they'd probably go with more of a teenage version. I don't think they'd go with a 10-year-old version.
I was going to ask.
I also don't think they'll go with like the, you know, Chris O'Donnell, who looks like he's 35, supposed to be playing an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Well, what happened to him? Last time I saw him, he was on Price is Right. I'm serious. He was on the 50th anniversary nighttime prices, right? But I'm just saying, I can't see them doing because Patterson's Bruce Wayne, he's not in his 40s in this one, he's in his 30s, right?
He's in his 30s, yeah, that's what it looks like.
So a teenager one, yeah, that's gotta be interesting. But I want to know what they're gonna do with Bloodhaven if you think that's where the Catwoman movie's gonna be.
I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a Catwoman movie, but I think, you know, why not? I mean, give Zoe Kravitz a shot at doing the movie.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. In general, I thought it was good. It's just, I do wish that we can move away from the
grounded
stuff. Yeah.
That ain't happening. You're stuck with gritty Batman.
I'm fine with gritty. I just want some of the more fantastical stuff to be in there too.
Well, you know what? You may get that with the Batwoman.
Yeah, I mean, I watched like the first episode. It didn't really do much for me. So,
no, I never seen any of them. To be quite honest with you, it was on TV, right?
Yeah, Superman and Lois is amazing. If you haven't seen that,
I have not seen that yet.
Do you have HBO Max?
Oh yeah.
Okay, well the whole first season is on HBO Max. Watch Superman and Lois. It's like the best Superman has been since Christopher Reeve.
Oh, okay. I will watch it.
It's the perfect modern take on Superman, and it brings in so much new aspects of the character, because him and Lois have two kids who are in high school in the show, and it's just it's perfect. I'm rewatching it right now.
Okay, I will. It hasn't been canceled, has it?
No. The second season is airing now.
Okay, I will watch it. And I will touch base with you.
Yeah. Watch it. The whole first season's on HBO Max. Watch it. It's okay. So good.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of superhero stuff to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the CW shows. I'm so behind on those because I'm caught up on Superman and Lois, but which, you know, up to the first season, but I haven't, and I'm caught up with Flash up until season eight, I think was the one that was recently on.
I'm behind
on Netflix. I haven't seen the last. I'm trying to work my way through the last season of Supergirl, but it's so not good.
I'll tell you. Well, I want your opinion because with the Flash, I'm where he just defeated Savitar.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know who that is?
Yeah, I know. You're talking. Pretty sure that's the third season.
That's where he fights basically a mirror or a split version of him.
Yeah, that was great. The show goes up and down. The most recent season that's on Netflix was a slog to get through. It was okay. Especially the middle part. It was definitely.
I haven't seen the last season of Green Arrow yet.
That was okay.
I kind of gave up on Heroes of Tomorrow.
Oh, Legends of Tomorrow?
Oh, Legend of Tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. I watched like two seasons of it. And it's not that I don't hate it. It's just that I had so much on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
I had to give up something. It was on the chopping block. I never saw Black Lightning.
Black Lightning was pretty good. I've seen the first two seasons. I haven't seen what's left of it. But yeah, the WB stuff is running out of steam, it seems like. Or the CW stuff, not the WB. But yeah. Superman and Lois being the exception. Superman and Lois is so good. It's really good. It's I'm surprised it's a CW show because it could easily be on HBO Max because that's how good it is. That's how good the quality is.
I definitely have to watch it. I'm also a little excited that they're now counting Daredevil and all the former Netflix shows.
Yeah, they're coming on Disney Plus later this month, in fact.
I'm hoping they make new ones. That would be nice. But, you know.
We'll see. I mean, I think for now they'll probably just keep them as supporting characters and stuff. Like, you know, Daredevil popped up in No Way Home and Kingpin popped up in Hawkeye. So I think they'll be doing that kind of stuff from now on.
Well, a little bit at least.
Before they bring something else on.
And of course you got not related to either of these universes on Amazon. You got The Boys.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen the new season yet, but the new season trailer. But I just saw that it was released. So I'll have to check
that out. Yeah, no, it looks interesting. Well, that's completely different from the Batman. I guess we should bring it up here.
No, it's okay. What was it?
I would just like your opinion. I never talked to you about The Boys. What would you think of that?
I like it. It's pretty good. I like it. It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. I like it. It's entertaining. Okay. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. It's like, have you seen this? Have you seen that news show? Yeah, it gives information.
No, I mean, it's fun. I like it. It's good for what it is. I mean, it's nothing. I'm not like blown away by it the way everybody else seems to be, but I enjoy it. So.
It's like when I asked you about Moss Burger.
I've never seen Bob's Burgers.
No, Moss Burger.
Moss Burger. Japanese. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
It's a burger place.
It's
a burger place. Like, not enthusiasm. Like, yeah, it's there. It's
yeah, there. I don't really like them that much. My wife likes it, but I don't. All right. But anyway, Johnny, anything else we want to say about the Batman?
Apparently, there's maybe an extended version of that movie.
Really?
Yeah. So I can't wait to see that release at would it be HBO Max? Yeah.
Well, yeah, HBO Max, I think they've already announced that it's coming out next month.
Yeah. So apparently it might be coming out to that. You get HBO Max in Japan, don't you?
Well, I use a VPN to access it, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, it'd be interesting. I wish they put back Dune.
I think that's come. I saw an email. That's one of the things that's coming, going to be on soon. So it should be back on there soon.
Well, listen, it's always good in these dark days to see a superhero movie, even when it's gritty. And
well, one of the things I like, it's gritty, but it's not dour. Right. It's got a hopeful message at the end. So I thought that was, I like that about it.
You know, I mean,
it's not like, you know, Batman v Superman, where you want to kill yourself after you watch it.
Yeah. Like, there goes 2 hours of my life I'm never getting back.
Yeah. It's nothing like that.
It's a movie that makes you want to invent a time machine so you can go back in time and punch yourself in the face before you buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Don't buy the tickets. You can do something more productive, like put your hand in a blender.
Okay. All right, Johnny. Do you have anything you want to promote before we close up?
No. Nope. I don't want to get political.
Okay. So,
hey, listen, man. What is there another movie coming out that you know? Oh. Actually, I do got a quickie question for you, because you and I both have a something in common. I saw a preview, and maybe you've seen it already. The
Takashi Miike?
Thank you. Did he make a vampire Yakuza movie?
Yeah, Yakuza Apocalypse.
How is that? I just saw an ad for that.
It's okay. It's not as... It's not like, I think it's just like at this point in his career and after seeing so many of his movies, it's not as shocking as the premise might have you believe, but it's fun.
You know what? He should throw everyone off kilter, make a Disney movie. Just make a Disney movie.
Well, I mean, he did make a children's fantasy film.
What did he make?
The Great Yokai War.
That was him?
That was him, yeah.
Holy shit, that was awesome.
Yeah. I think there's actually a sequel to it. I'm not sure if he directed it as well, but I think there's a sequel about it.
Oh, speaking of vampires, are you going to see a certain superhero vampire movie with Jared Leto coming out very shortly?
Oh, Morbius? Yeah, that looks good. Yeah. And, you know, it seems much better than whatever he was trying to do with Joker. So, I mean, Jared Leto's a good actor. I don't know. It's just like nobody told him that what he was doing with the Joker was terrible.
I don't know what they were going with that.
No one does.
No, I mean, he thought he was going to have his own Joker movie. I remember him being so pissed off in a TV interview on TV, like, you know, they told me we're going to have a whole movie with the Joker, you know. Well, no, obviously not after seeing what you did, asshole.
Yeah. Jesus.
Well, I'm picking up tickets for Morbius. It's going to be coming out very shortly.
I'm not sure when it comes out here. I got to look that up. But we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, Johnny, always good to see you. Yes. Always good to talk with you.
Thank you for having me. Good sir.
Thanks for coming back on. Thanks for requesting this, because you dropped me a line and said, like, oh, you want me to be on to talk about it. So anytime you want to do that, anytime anyone else wants to do that, just drop me a line and let me know.
I'm there for you, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. So thanks for listening to Superhero Cinephiles. SuperheroCinephiles.com is the website, and Super Cinema Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to like us, leave us a review, and thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. You have been listening to the Superhero Cinephiles podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Super Cinema Pod. Join our Facebook group by searching for Superhero Cinephiles, where you can interact with us and other superhero fans. If you'd like to support the show, you can become a regular supporter at Patreon or make a one-time donation through PayPal, both of which can be found at our website, SuperheroCinephiles.com. If you buy or rent any movies through the Amazon links at our site, it helps support the show. Please be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening. And as always, good night, good evening, God bless.